The Woodstock Chamber Orchestra's 34th season is underway, and they have performances this coming Friday and Saturday. This weekend's concert will include works by Schickele, Vaughan Williams, and Mendelssohn. A wonderful program. Here to tell us more about it and about the Woodstock Chamber Orchestra and this weekend's concerts are Nathan Mattson, the new music director of the Woodstock Chamber Orchestra, and Greg Dinger, president of the WCO board. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being here. Great pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to be here.
Thank you. Nathan, this is an exciting program. How did this all come about?
Well, once I was selected this past June as the fourth music director in the WCO's 33-year history, the first task that was given to me was to design a program for the season. We perform four programs, a total of eight concerts each season. And so I'm sitting brainstorming, trying to think about, well, what do I want to focus? What do I want to emphasize? What do I want to underline? And I realized the first thing I wanted to do was to go back through the WCO's history and look at all of the works that had been commissioned by this orchestra and premiered. And it turns out that this is a phenomenal engine for contemporary music, that, you know, virtually every season of its existence, it premiered or commissioned a new piece. So what this season does is celebrate past world premieres and commissions by the WCO of composers, for instance, of like Peter Schickele, who's also known as PDQ Bach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you older than WCO, or is WCO older than you?
We're actually almost the exact same age. I was born in August of 79, and the orchestra was formed, I think, in
January of 1980.
Of 80. So yeah, I'm four months older.
Just a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Excellent. So the 34th season, and what do you, so when you look at that history and that repertoire, obviously you want to advance the orchestra forward, and in the same goal, same token, you want to do new stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I figured for this first season, it would be good to kind of go back in time a little bit.
Yeah, stay with the honor the past and look to the future.
But then, in upcoming seasons, I have a long list of composers whose music I really enjoy or really think people need to know about, and I'd hope to either perform existing works by those living composers or commission totally new works from them.
When you think about this organization, Greg, as a obviously as a, for the community, but also beyond that, how do you see this chamber orchestra and its importance in this region?
Well, we offer something that a bigger symphony orchestra doesn't offer. We do smaller works, somewhat unusual works, and like I say, for 30 something years, we've done a lot of world premieres, which sounds very, you know, a world premiere, but it's a new piece that's never been heard before, and a lot of the time it's by a local composer living in the area. We want to keep on doing that. We also strive to be an orchestra where people who live in the area actually play in the orchestra. You run into these people in, you know, the grocery store, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we want to keep doing that and just doing it better and better.
And so coming into an organization like that, how familiar were you, where are your roots from? Are you from this region? Or
No, I've kind of been all over. I've lived in all four time zones, but I did live for 7 years in the Hudson Valley.
Yes.
I taught and worked at Bard College. I also taught at Rensselaer, conducted the orchestras at those two schools. I worked as an administrator at Bard College as well. And so through those activities, I got to know many of the musicians in the Woodstock Chamber Orchestra. I guest conducted them in 2007, and I think it was that experience that sort of led both of us to kind of keep each other in mind so that later on when the orchestra was looking for a conductor, you know, my name sort of came up again. I now live in Texas, in a place that is in almost every single possible way that you can imagine, the exact opposite of the Hudson Valley. West Texas, flat, hot, brown, sunny.
Except for the other day, they got snow and
yes,
we were clear of it.
Yes, they actually got snow the day I left, which was very ironic. But
But not as blue.
Yes, definitely not as blue. I think we went about 82% for Romney in this last election, something like that. So very different worlds, but I'm happy to live and to make music in both places.
So obviously. You come in, so how often do you have to
It's usually about 5 or 6 weeks a year right now, yeah. Because, you know, I'll come in, obviously, the week of the concerts. You know, I rehearse the orchestra, I do media appearances and do other work that's necessary.
Right.
But nowadays, I mean, so much work can get done just over the phone or by Skype that, you know, we're able. And a lot of conductors, it's a very strange profession. I mean, now, after the airplane got invented, you know, we're very lucky and very fortunate with David Allen Miller actually living in Albany. And he is, in some ways, the exception rather than the rule. Nowadays, conductors kind of just fly all over.
Well, the biggest problem is occasionally a hurricane gets in the way, like your first concert
yes.
in September, I guess, or October.
Yeah, late
Hurricane
October.
Sandy got in the way, and Nathan came to us a day later than planned.
Yeah, stranded.
So what's your day job in Texas? What's keeping you in Texas?
I'm the assistant conductor of the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra, which is the Symphony Orchestra of Lubbock.
Lubbock.
So, and that's basically a full-time job.
Yeah.
So I do that and then come up here, you know, when needed.
When you and every orchestra is different, right? I mean, every orchestra. What is it just by that word chamber? What makes that different?
Well, that's an indication of size. You know, you have the Albany Symphony Orchestra, and that word, what it says is that we are an orchestra, an ensemble of musicians dedicated to playing a certain type of repertoire. In this case, a symphony orchestra is one that's set up to play larger works, symphonies, meaning Brahms or Tchaikovsky or Mahler, you know, really large groups. A chamber orchestra also plays symphonies, of course, but it's a function of the size. So there's the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, and then the Woodstock Chamber Orchestra.
We do Mozart and Beethoven with no problem. It's a bit of a stretch to do a Tchaikovsky symphony.
Right.
Would
right.
require hiring a whole lot more players, and it's just not what we're really set up to do.
Yeah. Yeah, what way to think of it is a Noah's Ark in the winds, just a pair of all of the winds and brass.
That's very poetic.
Yeah. So that's one way to kind of, if on stage and you see more than Noah's Ark there at the back, if you see four horns, four trombones or what have you, then chances are you're at a symphony orchestra concert.
Right. More than two giraffes.
Yes.
Something is amiss. So the concert's the 14th and the 16th, so you'll do one show at Bard College and then one at the Woodstock Playhouse.
Yes.
So you get around. You get to travel a little bit.
Yeah, it's wonderful because we have a great following in Dutchess County, and we're very grateful to Bard College. They've given us this hall to perform in for many years now. And then we are new to the Woodstock Playhouse, as some of you may know. It was recently renovated.
Yes.
And we're hoping to make that a very long-term, you know, permanent residency there in the Woodstock Playhouse as well.
We'd been hearing about for years that it was going to be renovated. It was going to, and maybe that would be a good location for our concerts. And we'd been in various other venues that were okay. But the Playhouse is a really nice venue. Just looks like where you go to a concert.
Yeah.
And the acoustics are good.
You fit well there.
Yeah.
When you let us talk a little bit about the program for Friday night and Sunday afternoon. You mentioned Peter Schickele, and this is a folk song set, and that sounds fascinating. But this was a commission from the orchestra.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was written. Peter Schickele is a longtime friend of the orchestra and supporter of the orchestra. And in 2002, he was asked to write a piece for the group, and we commissioned it and then premiered it. And so it's been 10 years, and we're anxious to perform it again.
What else is on the program?
Well, so starting with Schickele, I thought, well, that's a series of folk songs, so let's see what other folk tradition, folk music there is out there. So I went to the Mendelssohn Scottish Symphony, which was a trip that Felix Mendelssohn, a German, took to the United Kingdom, and it's a symphony that's filled with Scottish folk tunes and is dedicated to Queen Victoria. Then we have Vaughan Williams, who was a British, I guess you'd call a nationalist composer in the sense that he tried to take English vernacular music and put it into what we now call sort of the high art side of composition. So the Dives and Lazarus variants are, again, an old English folk tune that he is playing around with. And then Max Bruch, a German composer, was asked to write a piece for cello and orchestra that is Celtic folk melodies. So it's a evening of folk songs, basically, and all these different composers and their different approaches to taking popular or vernacular tunes and putting them inside the vessel of a symphony orchestra and that timbre and color palette.
Wonderful program.
Fortunately, I never got around to completing my variations on Kumbaya.
There's always time. Always time for the big 35th season.
Yeah.
There's always time. So you have this these concerts on the 14th and the 16th, and then you'll be back in June.
March.
Oh, March.
Next concert is in March.
Oh, look at that. March 8th and 9th. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was reading.
That's all right.
Right to left.
And again, in March, we're going to highlight another Hudson Valley composer, Harold Farberman. And, you know, what I'm trying to do is create a vision in people's minds that we talk very often about the Hudson River School of Painting.
Yes.
Which was very important. But if you really start taking a list of the who's who of American composers, a lot of them live in the Hudson Valley. And it's quite amazing when you start to just tally the names. So I want us to somehow maybe be a champion for this concept or idea that creativity is alive and well in the Hudson Valley, and America's greatest composers choose to call it their home.
The Woodstock Chamber Orchestra performs orchestral folk songs this Friday, December 14th at 8 in Olin Hall at Bard College, and this Sunday, December 16th at 3 p.m. at the Woodstock Playhouse. For more information, visit wco-online.com. That's wco-online.com. Nathan Mattson, Greg Dinger, thank you very much for being with us. Safe travels.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.